Down through the years, God calls us to many things. Right now, God is calling us to worship. So please join me in the responsorial reading starting on the front of your bulletin. In the beginning, God made the world. Filled it with seed and signs of fertility. All that is green, blue, deep, and growing. All that is tender, firm, fragrant, and curious. All that crawls, flies, swims, walks, or is motionless. All that speaks, sings, cries, laughs, or keeps silence. In the name of the Creator God, let us now reach out our hands to one another. And also with you. So in order to fully worship the God in whose image we were made, we must first take a moment to acknowledge the sacred worth of every individual here. So please turn to those within reach and those just out of reach to let them know how glad you are to gather here today.
Friends, welcome to Old South Church in Boston. I know some of you might be missing the Reverend Quinn Caldwell, our associate pastor and poet extraordinaire, who is on paternity leave at the moment, thanks be to God. In order to ease that separation, I have prepared the words of welcome in rhyme in Quinn's honor. Come into this church and be loved, my friend. Be brought back to life with world without end. The doors are all open. The sun has come up. The coffee is brewing to warm up your cup. Together we'll sing and sup and chat. No woes on this earth will hold us back. Come one, come all. You're welcome here. Rich, poor, young, old, man, woman, gay, straight, queer. You're welcome here. You're loved. You're a child of God. All glory and honor and praise and laud. My goodness. It's good to be here together. Such a colorful flock, like birds of a feather. Welcome, my friends, to Old South this day. May the good Lord be with us as we sing, feast, and pray. Friends, in order to begin this work of singing and feasting and praying, we want to know you're here. There's a friendship pad at the end of your pew that looks like this. Pick it up, hold it up, jot down your name and address so we can invite you more deeply into the life and work of this community. Once you've jotted down your name and address, please take a look at the green insert that is in your bulletin. It tells you something about our life and work together as a church. A few things to highlight today is Congregational Care and Support Sunday. It is a day set apart to lift up and to celebrate the many, many ways the people of this church take care of one another. If you're interested in following in their footprints, if you'd like to participate in this tender ministry of loving each other back to life, there is an insert in your bulletin. You can click off if you want to prepare meals or visit or provide rides for people to come to church. Jot down your name and contact information, fold it up, put it in the offering plate as it goes by, or give it to an usher or mail it back to the church. Members of the Congregational Care and Support Team will be hosting a table outside during fellowship hour. And speaking of fellowship hour, you came on the right day. Today is our annual Ice Cream Sunday. So everyone is invited to go outside, just outside the front doors, and have an ice cream and meet someone new. The time has come to sing and pray. The angels and archangels are on their way to help us lift our hearts to heaven. So come, God, now. Make us your salt, light, and leaven. Brothers and sisters, it is time to worship. A reading from the 8th chapter of Jeremiah. There is no cure for my grief. I am sick at heart. Hear my people's cry of distress from a distant land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Why do they provoke me with their images and with their future foreign gods? Harvest is past. Summer is over, and we are not saved. I am wounded by my people's wound. I go about in mourning, overcome with horror. Is there no balm in Gilead? No physician there? Why has no skin grown over their wound? Oh, that my head were a spring of water, my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of my people. This is a reading from the word of the Lord.
Thank you. may be seated. Well, there is a school of thought that alleges that for every one of life's eventualities, no matter what, there is always just the right biblical verse. Now, if you ascribe to that school of thought, you will note that there is an apt biblical verse for the state in which the beleaguered citizens of Red Sox Nation now find ourselves. The verse is cleverly hidden, as such things typically are, in today's scripture passage, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20b. The summer is past, laments Jeremiah, and we are not saved. Let us pray. Come near now, God. Bend low. Enter this house. Take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set us on fire for your gospel. Amen. Jeremiah is listening, and he hears the sound of grief coming at him from two separate, distinct directions. From the direction of God's people, he hears wailing and lamentation, women keening, men moaning. It is a wailing that fills the land. The people are desperate. And at the same time, but from the direction of heaven, Jeremiah hears God's great distress and pain, a wailing that fills the skies. God's distress is empathetic. For if God's people are in pain, then God is in pain. Because pain is infectious, that is, for warm-blooded beings who cannot help but feel another's pain, Jeremiah, caught between the people's grief and God's grief, is himself aggrieved. Jeremiah, too, erupts in a great wailing and mourning. His own lament spills out of him. The language in this chapter is chaotic, confused and confusing, disorienting. It's impossible to distinguish God's lament from Jeremiah's lament. It's impossible to decipher where one sentence ends and another begins. But then grief is like that, isn't it? Grief blurs our vision and grief confuses our language. It erupts from us in fits and starts, in fragments and shards, in sobs and groans. And grief is inescapable for us mere mortals. But here's what Jeremiah tells us, that not even God is beyond grief. Even the immortal one, the Ancient of Days, suffers grief. As any parent here can attest, their child's pain is their pain. So too with God, our pain is God's pain. And we give God plenty of pain. And it doesn't matter, does it? Any parent can say, it doesn't matter, as in this case, in the story in Jeremiah, it doesn't matter in the end if the pain is self-inflicted. Jeremiah is very clear on this point. Israel's grief is self-inflicted. They brought it upon themselves. The trouble they are in was caused by their negligence in attending to holy things. And sometimes our grief is self-inflicted. We sometimes come to grief by our own fault, our own bad habits, our own lapses in judgment, our own aching too much for things that are not good for us. And whether self-inflicted or otherwise, and even so, self-inflicted is too easy a phrase, isn't it? Nothing's that simple, is it? But whether self-inflicted or otherwise, none of us escapes grief, and many of us know that all too well. Many of us know grief as an unwelcome, stubborn companion in our lives. Theologian Frederick Buechner is said to have claimed that in every small town there is enough grief to freeze your blood. And I look out at this congregation. I know lots of you, and I know the truth of that claim because we're about the size of a small town. In every small town, there is enough grief to freeze your blood. Grief is inescapable, but then there's this. Frozen things can be thawed, warmed, melted. There's this. We can warm frozen places for each other. When my husband Peter was very ill, I wept a lot, too often. I wept in doctor's offices. I wept in Peter's hospital rooms. I wept at home when some new calamity had befallen him. And we're supposed to be strong and brave, right, for the one we love when they are hurting. And I was failing at that. And one day I finally managed to apologize to Peter, to say how sorry I was that just when he needed me the most, I dissolved into tears and speechlessness. And you know what Peter said to me? He told me that he liked it when I cried. He said he was touched by it. He told me it comforted him and made him feel deeply loved, or more deeply loved, and less isolated by his illness. In his pain and in his dying, in his grief over leaving this world that he loved so very much, Peter cherished my tears and he was comforted by my grief. One of our members, one of the deacons of this church, recently came to grief. A week ago, Ann Pritchard fell off a ladder. She broke multiple bones in both of her legs. She suffers compression fractures and bruised ribs. She's in a terrible lot of pain. She has had two surgeries and perhaps more to come. And between the major injuries and the secondary injuries, Ann can barely move. Yesterday, I was speaking with her on the phone, and here's the thing, my friends at Old South. She couldn't stop talking about the cards, the calls, the visits that she has received from this church family. I have her permission to speak about this to you today. The cards are taped to the wall in her room. She says there's 30 or 40 of them. The email messages are in her inbox, undeleted. This outpouring of care during her suffering, she says, brings tears to her eyes, but these are good tears. And we have not relieved her of her pain. We have not relieved her of her grief. We have not relieved her of the long road to recovery still ahead of her, but we have made her burdens bearable. And that's what's so moving about this passage from Jeremiah. It's confused, it's disoriented, it's raw, ragged, jagged, guttural. But it is so authentic. It's touching the way God weeps for God's people, the way Jeremiah weeps for God and God's people. This threefold wailing, this communal keening, because each cares so very, very much for the other. This is warm-blooded stuff. This is what it takes to melt frozen places. It doesn't remove the grief, but it does the next best thing. It makes that grief bearable. And in some sense, our Christian discipleship is measured by the way we engage in this warm-blooded work, this thawing, empathic work, this work of hurting, taking on hurt because another hurts, and in such ways that we can, making each other's burdens bearable. As a congregation, we do this in myriad ways. A financial grants program that sends money to tender ministries in this city and around the world for those who are among the least and the lost. Through our prayer box ministry, we receive and pray the prayers of those who come here week after week. In our mission trips, where we go out and touch people and learn their names and enter their lives and try and do some good. By our participation in benefit walks and benefit concerts and benefit auctions for the hungry, for those with AIDS or cancer. In our advocacy work with the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization. In appeals for emergency relief for those in New Orleans, in Haiti, in Chile, in Pakistan. In our pastoral care. In our daily ministries here to those who enter our doors, seeking assistance, forgiveness, prayers, a listening ear, a kind heart. We do it by being bearers to the degree that we are able of God's own mercy. We do it by practicing forgiveness. We do it by studying kindness and learning it. In the past 6 months, the clergy of Old South Church have organized and participated in the funerals of three of our own who were homeless, who lived on the very edges, whose distress was great, whose grief was boundless. Old South, we didn't relieve them of their terrible burdens of addiction or illness or racking poverty, but we befriended them. We walked with them. And then we sent them home to God. This morning we name the warm-blooded ministries of Old South Congregational Care and Support Committee and its care crews. And this is not so much to celebrate this ministry. It's not to congratulate us. Nope, we have an agenda today. We hope to entice you to participate in one of the care crews, in visiting the homebound, in writing notes, cards to persons in special circumstances, giving rides, preparing meals. Today there are some 60 members of this congregation who serve on our care crews. We could use twice that. So back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is at his wit's end. The grief of his people and God's grief, his own grief, are heart-wrenching. It is unbearable. Biblical scholars are not absolutely certain what it is that has so afflicted the people of Israel at this point, but they suspect it is a drought. A long, parching, killing drought. That infants and elderly are dying. Cattle and sheep are dying. There is no rain in sight. There is no end in sight. There is no help in sight. And Jeremiah hears the keening, the wailing. The situation is desperate. And he cries out to the heavens, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Is there no help, no assistance, no pity, no warmth. He cries this out. And here's the answer. Here's what the church says. The church says, yes, yes, yes. We may not relieve you of your grief, but we can make it bearable. Somebody say, amen.
God be with you. May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Let us pray. Loving Creator God, at the beginning of time, you shaped us from dust and clay. By breathing the very breath of life into our lungs, you joined our lives irrevocably to your life force. In the newness of time, God, you claimed us as your own, teaching us to walk in your ways, teaching us that our love for you and our love for one another are woven together. In the realness of time, God, you came to your creation, demonstrating that love is a verb and not a noun, showing us that love and wholeness have the last word over betrayal and brokenness. God, here in this time, you entrust us to be your ambassadors of love, your outstretched arm to a world in need. God, strengthen our hearts and minds on this day that we may turn ourselves more fully to you, that we might accept that calling and go forth to love with all of our hearts, to love others as we love ourselves, to be a balm for those in pain, to be a light for those who are lost, and to be a window through which this broken world catches a glimpse of you. Today, God, we especially lift up those who minister to the needs of this community. We give you thanks that you have inspired and called the congregational care and support team to be your instrument of love here in this family. Continue to guide their hearts and strengthen their hands, that healing and wholeness might be found, that pain might be mitigated, that dignity might be restored. We give you thanks, God, that this very room has been a sanctuary in the city for the hundreds and the thousands who have come to this place in the last week to be nurtured and fed. We give you thanks for those who left behind their prayers for family, for friends, and for the world. We give you thanks, God, both for Daniel and the one who prayed that Daniel's anxiety and clouds of despair might give way to skies of brilliant blue joy. We give you thanks, God, both for a father who prayed and for the son he prayed for, Samuel, that he might be guided toward you. For both a daughter in the Peace Corps and a mother who prayed for her health, for the poor people of the world and the one who prayed for them, for the people of Bermuda in the face of the Hurricane Igor and the one who prayed for them. We give you thanks, God, for the gift of prayer and all those who pray for others. We too pray for those in our Old South family who are in need this week. We pray for Gwen and Asa, for Steve, Anne, Barbara, and George, for Arnita and Jean, for Shirley, for Josiah and Dan, and for Carol and Gideon. God, lift each of our hearts in the coming days toward one another, whether by smile or kind deed. Help us to be your very presence wherever in this broken world we find hunger, loneliness, or need. God, on this day we also lift up to you the nameless forgotten of this world, those whose suffering tragically so often goes unnoticed, the homeless, the addicted, the lonely, and the outcast. For those who have no voice, God, we ask you to speak. We lift up those who are so often forced to endure their pain in silence, survivors of domestic abuse, children in abusive home, those who look or love differently than our society says they should. God, we ask you to pour your love out in waterfalls of tenderness. Remind us, God, that as we treat the least of these, so we treat you. And now, God, we come to you in silence, laying before you the prayers that have no words and those whose words struggle to get past our lips. The joys of our hearts and the burdens of our lives, God, we lay them before you in silence. We are your people, God. You are the source of our life and the hope of our salvation. Draw us closer to you. Bind our hearts and our lives to yours. Make us one with one another until you send your Son to us at the end of all time and love overwhelms the world. We ask all this through the one who makes all things possible, the light that shines on and cannot be put out, the one who guides us, the one who taught us how to pray. And now, God, we lift all our voices as one body, praying that prayer Jesus taught us together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As Christians, we are called to care for one another.
As disciples of Christ, we are called to weep, to pray, to serve, to celebrate, and to visit one another in good times and in bad.
Here at Old South, we're working hard to call through to answer this call through the work of our congregational care and support team.
If you are a member of the card crew, if you have ever written a note to somebody who is mourning or recovering from a sickness or celebrating the arrival of a new baby, will you please stand?
If you have ever received a card of support from the card crew, will you please rise?
If you have ever cooked a meal or delivered it to someone's home, if you have ever greeted a new baby with a wee green shirt that says, "The future of Old South Church," please rise.
If you have ever sent a care package to a college student or ever given someone a ride to church, please rise.
If you have ever received a ride to church, a home-cooked meal, a care package, a baptismal book, an invitation for summer tea, or a hospital emergency card, will you please rise?
If you have ever knitted a prayer shawl or received a warm shawl that has been steeped with the prayers of this congregation, please rise.
If you have ever prayed for someone in this congregation, please rise.
If you've ever lifted up a prayer for a dear friend or a family member in need.
If you have ever lifted up a prayer for the world, for a country far away, for the care and protection of God's good earth, please rise.
Friends, look around you. This is how God cares for the world. God uses your hands, your hearts, your lives, your prayers, your rides, your food, your cards, your visits.
You are members of Old South's congregational care and support team. You are all disciples of Christ, answering God's call to care for one another, to love one another, to bring the whole world back to life.
With prayer, with cards, with rides to church, with needles and yarn, God is using all of us to bring the whole world back to life. And God is about to do it again through your gifts of time, talent, and treasure. This morning's offering will now be given and received. You may be seated.
holy and beautiful God, take this money and make it yours. Turn it into homes for the homeless and a sanctuary for the vulnerable. Take these prayer shawls and make them yours. Turn them into mantles of care and support. Shelter for the sick and the suffering. Take these tomatoes and this Tuscan kale and turn them into full bellies, full of good things. Take these people, warm their blood, melt their hearts, make them ferocious in their knitting and their caring so that this world might be made right. God, this is our prayer, and we pray it in the name of your love that was wrapped all in flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Walk bravely into this new week. Shun the hollow, hallow the good. Forgive those who wound you. Wound not in return. Encourage the discouraged. Cherish times with the lonely. Pray in private crannies about all things. Be found celebrating. Practice rejoicing. Encourage laughter in your soul. And may the blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, Christ, our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with us this day and every day. And the people said,
amen. Everybody goes to another church. They would immediately notice that.